Today we're talking with Dr. Christopher Ohl. He is an infectious disease expert at Wake Forest Baptist Health. And we're going to talk about coronavirus. Dr. Ohl, I bet you're a pretty busy guy right now.
A little bit.
Well,
glad to be here, though.
Well, we're glad to have you. So I want to start by saying, apparently, I've discovered that a lot of my Facebook friends are also infectious disease experts, and or at least so they think. And so there seems to be...
Everybody's an expert.
They are, right? There seem to be a couple of camps here. You've got the group of people who are like, it's fine, the flu is worse, wash your hands, don't listen to the news, you're going to be okay. And then you have another group of people who are literally in line right now at Costco wearing a mask and buying the rest of the toilet paper and hand sanitizer. So as the actual infectious disease expert in the party now, where do you fall in this line of thinking?
Well, probably a little bit closer to the may not be quite as bad group, but not quite all the way. Everyone can relate to the flu. They've gotten the flu, they've seen the flu, they've seen how it goes through a community. And they say, well, you know, if you're not really old or really young, it's not a huge deal. Most people would rather not get it, but most people do okay with it. So the coronavirus may be a little bit more disruptive, and it may be a little bit of a nastier virus. Particularly if you're older or have underlying medical conditions, the mortality's higher. So it's not incredibly high, but it's higher than the flu. So, you know, I think it's things that people should be paying attention to. But I don't really think people should be panicking and definitely not hoarding. That's just disruptive.
So when you say it is slightly higher than the flu, the mortality rate, you know, that doesn't sound too bad, but then when you think about it, what is it? This year alone, 40 to 80,000, I think is the number I saw of people who have died in the United States from the flu. Correct me if I'm wrong.
From the flu. Right.
Yeah. And so that's for the flu and this is even can be a higher, slightly higher mortality rate, that's serious stuff then, isn't it?
Right. You hit the nail on the head there, Tammy. For any one particular individual person, you know, the threat to their health is really pretty low, but it's the scope that makes it difficult. So, you know, if you have a mortality of, say, 1 to 1.5%, and you have 200 million people infected across the world, that becomes a real number. And it becomes a number also that gets in the way of our lives. Because, for instance, those of us who work in hospitals, you know, it may mean, not guaranteeing, but 15% more, you know, ED visits, 15% more admissions, and we might have to do social distancing to keep it from being transmitted, so on and so forth. Social distancing being the canceling of basketball games and such. So it's the scope that's the issue. But for any one individual person, the threat to their health is low.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So let's go back to the kind of comparison here with the flu, because like you said, that's something a lot of us understand we've dealt with. What are the similarities and maybe differences as far as the symptoms and the way the virus presents in people?
Right. So the symptoms overlap quite a bit, actually. There's fever, cough, body aches, and fatigue, and both of those happen with the flu and coronavirus. The spectrum, though, with coronavirus is a little wider. What do I mean by spectrum? Is that with the flu, if you get the flu, you're pretty much going to have a bad illness that you would rather forget. But with coronavirus, a lot of people who get it can have really mild symptoms. Anything from a sniffle to a mild cough. And it's really only 15% that get a more severe illness that might bring them to an emergency department or hospital. So in that aspect, coronavirus is a little bit different. Right now, because we don't really have community transmission of coronavirus here in North Carolina, if you have symptoms of the cold or the flu, you have the cold or the flu. Mm-hmm. So When more widespread transmission occurs, if it occurs, it may be that it would be a little harder to tell the difference.
Sure. So do you, I kind of feel like it's just a matter of time before it does become more widespread.
But yeah, at some point, it probably will become community transmitted here. Exactly when is a little hard to know. Mm-hmm. My prediction is that might even be as late as this coming fall. But I don't have a crystal ball, so we'll have to wait and see. I don't think there's really going to be many states that are going to really dodge this one. While a lot of people are panicking and in my opinion overreacting to some extent now. I think as people start getting used to living with it, they realize, I had coronavirus last week. My neighbor had it a month ago, and, we've all done all right.
Yeah.
So I think people will settle down a little bit.
So let's hit some of the quick, things that I've heard on Facebook that I thought were kind of interesting. First of all, this is the coronavirus. It's been around forever. It's on the back of Lysol cans. You're going to be fine. what's up with that?
Yes and no. Yeah, so human coronaviruses have been around forever and will be around forever, probably. So there's like four strains, basic strains of human coronavirus. These cause colds. We've been living with these for decades, if not centuries. The COVID-19, that one's new. That one's probably been around only since October or so of last year. And it behaves differently from the typical cold coronaviruses. Apparently it's killed by Lysol, though. People do ask me that.
Yeah.
Lysol kills almost every virus. So
you're probably safe with the Lysol killing it, but it's not necessarily. It's just one of many different types of coronavirus, and this is a new one.
That's it.
Yep. And you can't get it from drinking Corona beer, correct?
Not that I know of. I won't either confirm nor deny if I've tried that experiment.
Yeah, I know. I think we need to do some more research into that, Dr. Ohl. Maybe on a beach in Mexico. How about that?
Yeah, sounds good to me. Sign me up.
So someone asked me, this was a good question, I thought. Because I know one of the risks from this is, especially if you're older, I guess, or, compromised in another way, is getting pneumonia. If you have the pneumonia shot, does that prevent coronavirus from turning into pneumonia?
Well, it won't prevent coronavirus from turning into pneumonia, but it would prevent the possible complication of a secondary bacterial pneumonia due to Streptococcus pneumonia, which is the bacterium in that shot. Plus, that bacterium and pneumonia due to that bacterium is not going to go away. So you want to continue to protect yourself against it. So it's also like, well, why should I get a flu shot next year? It won't work against coronavirus, because the answer is it'll protect you from the flu, which is still going to be around. If you can protect yourself from all of those other things, not only will it keep you from getting those, but it will also potentially protect you from a complication of getting bacterial pneumonia after a viral pneumonia, which does happen.
What about the incubation period with this? Are people potentially carrying the coronavirus around without having symptoms for a long time?
I don't think so. So the incubation period usually is about somewhere between 3 to 6 days. Can be as long as 14, but after a 14-day period, if somebody has been exposed, they're in the clear. There may have been a few very unusual exceptions to that, but for the most part, once you're through 14 days after contact, you're out of the woods.
Okay. And why do you think it is that it doesn't seem like children are dealing with this? Like, if they get it, it's very mild, and I think that's a good thing, but do you have any theory why that's that way?
Well, I agree with you that it's a very good thing, and no one knows. This is one of the mysteries yet that have yet to be figured out.
So we know that we're not supposed to be hoarding masks, and we know that we're supposed to be saving masks for people who are sick so they don't spread it to other people, and for healthcare workers who have to be working with people they don't want to spread an illness to. Is there ever a reason an otherwise healthy person should use a mask for preventing disease?
Well, what the Asians have done for years and years and years, if they get sick with a cold, they'll wear a mask. And that's just considered good hygiene. It's to keep all that stuff, that mucus and stuff inside you, from getting spewing out into the world. So for sick people, wearing a mask probably makes sense. But if you're not sick and you're healthy, there's really no need to be walking around with a mask on. It's really not necessary.
So what should we do? If it gets to a point where here in North Carolina, or we're traveling somewhere where we know now it's spreading around the community, what should we do to at least lessen our chances of getting sick?
So, a lot of it is the same thing we do to try to prevent ourselves from getting the flu. You avoid people who are ill or sick contacts. You wash your hands frequently. Don't touch your face. That turns out to be true. Not touching your face does help, but it's hard.
Yeah.
You have to kind of be pretty aware.
Yeah, that's so. I've thought about it so much since we've been talking about this. I touch my face all the time.
Everybody does. So, but it is something you can do. And then stay healthy. Do all those things that mom told us to do growing up. Stay healthy, get enough sleep, eat right, nutrition, things like that. Not smoking. It turns out smokers have a higher risk of all sorts of respiratory complications, not only just from coronavirus, but others. So, those are all things people can do. It sounds kind of obvious and not so specific. I wish I could say, go get the coronavirus vaccine, but we don't have one yet. Probably going to be 12 to 18 months before we do.
Yeah, that takes a while. So the people then who really are at the highest risk of a serious issue with coronavirus, would you say it's the same as with the flu as far as, older people who are already sick? Are those the people who really need to be using the highest amount of caution?
So, yeah, it's older people, people with underlying diseases and chronic medical conditions. So if you are in that category, well, one thing you might consider is if you have a trip planned to Europe right now, maybe postponing that. If you're going to get on a cruise, maybe postponing that. But as far as usual activities in and around our communities, going to the mall and stuff, I think it's too early to say stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But keep an eye on it. If there ends up being more widespread transmission in the community, so, 10 to 15% of the community is getting it, kind of like a flu year, then you're going to want to be, staying home, avoiding places. In fact, all of us might be doing it to some extent, because when it gets that involved in a community, we start doing what's called social distancing, which means, not having a basketball game or maybe closing schools for a while or something like that.
But we're not near that stage.
We're not there
yet.
When
you said earlier about, if you're thinking about a cruise or you're thinking about going to Europe, postpone that. Are you talking about for the general public, or are you talking about older at-risk people?
Older at-risk people. So here's something that you can do that's a little bit specific. So you can go to the CDC website, www.cdc.gov, and then navigate to the travel place. And then they have travel health alerts, and they categorize them by level 1, level 2, and level 3. Level 1 is pretty much, business as usual. Level 3 is everybody should not go unless you absolutely have to. And so right now on the level 3 list is China, obviously, Italy, Iran, and South Korea. Those are on the level 3 list. So those are places right now I'd say no one really should go. I'd say no one really should go on a cruise that is centered in Europe or includes Italy. And then there's their level 2. Level 2 is kind of in the middle, have enhanced precautions, be a little bit cautious. Those are the places that where people who are older or have underlying health conditions might want to postpone.
Okay.
But the general public is still okay. And right now the country on that list is Japan.
So,
but that list changes, so you might see countries like Thailand, so on and so forth there. So that's why I give you the website, so you can check it from time to time.
So Chase from the Wake Up With The Wolf show has a trip to Italy planned in September. Now, he did buy travel insurance, which was a good thing. So
that was smart, yeah.
Yeah. So we're hoping. He and I were just talking before you and I started talking about, you know, by the time September rolls around, it may have already peaked and be on the way down in Italy, and be the problem might be here, you know. They may not want him over there.
I mean, yeah, that's actually could be quite accurate. A lot could happen between now and September, so don't cancel your trip yet, Chase. you know, it's kind of like right now we're starting to see the notice decline in China. Mm-hmm. And some say it's because, you know, the measures they've taken, which have been quite draconian actually, are working. But the other theories are that, you know, the people who are going to get it have gotten it. And you know, once you've gotten it, it's unlikely to get it again in the near future. And so it's literally burning itself out. You know, most of Wuhan has probably been exposed.
So that brings up a question for me. So the flu season, you know, we think about a season, right? So you can get the flu any time of year, but it kind of peaks during a certain time of year. Are the same things that cause it to happen with the flu? Does that happen with the coronavirus? Why is it just seasonal with the flu? And is it the same with the coronavirus?
Well, we don't know 100% for sure how seasonal the coronavirus is. A lot of people are predicting it is. And it has to do with how long the virus can last on environmental surfaces, because the virus lasts longer on a surface, you know, like a desk, a door handle or something, longer in low humidity, cooler conditions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's late fall, winter, and early spring. So as it gets warmer and more humid, the virus doesn't hang out as long in the environment.
Interesting. So, okay. All right, Dr. Ohl, we have covered a lot of ground. You've given us a lot of your time, but can you just summarize, like, what are the most important things you want people to know about this new coronavirus?
So it's really five things. First and number one is don't panic. Two is stay healthy, practice good hygiene, wash your hands, avoid sick people, and all those things you've been hearing about. Number three is don't hoard. You only need one bottle of Tylenol for the flu. You only need one bottle of Tylenol for this. So there's no need to have 30 of them at home. Leave the mask for healthcare. And then number four is stay informed, you know, and right now there's no need to really be changing what you're doing. But if there should be more transmissions occurring and it becomes out there in the community, public health and government and me and everyone, and you and everyone else is going to be telling people. And then people might have to change their behaviors a little bit. But right now, not so much.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. You've given us a ton of your time today, and I appreciate it. And if things change, we may try to get back in touch with you, okay?
All right. Sounds good, Tammy.